All right. Welcome to another edition of Shabbat Lounge. This is Matt.
And Jake.
We appreciate you stopping by to check out our channel. And we ask that you give us a like, comment, subscribe, share, click the notification button, leave us some comments, tell us you care.
Yes.
Reach out. That's right. Reach out. And we have lots of ways to do that, and we're showing you here. I'm going to let you drive, Jake.
That's probably a bad idea.
This is our website and blog, and everything feeds into here, and you can see some of the different topics and different things that we discuss over the course of the year. And Jake, if you go back up to the top, and you may have to move this recording screen. Oh, go, yeah, bro, you can see it right there.
Okay.
Just recently, yes. Yeah, you can click on it. There was an event. In Dallas, on the Day of Trumpets, that was Trumpets Arise, and they were asking for a day of, I think they call it Day of a Thousand Shofars.
Day of a Thousand Shofars.
And so they assembled people at the steps of Dallas City Hall.
Oh, and Night of a Thousand Shofars.
Night of
you
a
were
thousand
completely
shofars.
Wrong.
What did I say?
Day of a Thousand
day
Shofars.
Of a thousand. It's night.
Night. Don't blow the shofar in the daytime.
It was like day and night.
Yeah.
Difference. So, but anyway, that already happened. This is old news.
Unless you're watching it next year.
Old news. Yes. And then you're in time. You're a year early.
You're ahead of time.
Yeah. Be ready for next year. So I do think it's something to pay attention to and something to consider, it seems like a good idea. Maybe we should do more of these on a larger scale. And, I think it's worth kicking the tires on to see, what would happen if we, as a community and people that are watching this, you probably already participate in this, but how could we widen our circle a little bit? And I think it's definitely an easy thing to get everyone to buy in and understand, hey, we should repent.
Yeah. I think that crosses a lot of boundaries.
Yeah. I think everybody's like, yeah, look at our, especially in today's world, they're like, look at 2020. We need to repent now.
Right.
And I think a lot of people are thinking that, regardless of their background. But today we did want to talk about the shofar a little bit. And so if you'll click on that YouTube tab. So it kind of was inspired by Greg Widener. And he has a YouTube post. Well, you may have to press play and you may have to just mute him.
There, I'll just go to there.
So Greg has a post called The Voice of a Shofar. It was published September 19th, 2020. And Greg's post was really good. And it kind of, got my wheels turning on the shofar thing. And I just wanted to do a quick thing that kind of just piggybacks on what he did. And just with some visual of, and I added some of my own thoughts. And Jake and I have discussed and kind of went through it. I just wanted to be fast and simple. So, but let's talk about the shofar.
Okay.
So why don't you show it? We got these two shofars and
I will show the shofar.
And Jake is a pretty good shofar player, but we decided to not go.
Yeah. Cause that tends to be, I've seen videos where people do that and it's, you can't hear it, distorts it. And it's just kind of annoying. That's the part you skip through on the video.
It's being on the other side of the camera sometimes. I mean, it's cool to hear, but I think it'd be better if Jake went 20-50 feet away and then blew it. I mean, it might be all right. Well, I guess you could do that.
I guess it sounds like you're telling me to go do that.
No. So, but if you've never seen a shofar or had one, they're pretty
like
easy
this.
To obtain. So I'm not sure what you're doing.
This is where it comes from. It's on there, on the head like this.
Oh, yes. So, the head of an animal.
Yes. That tells you what about the smell.
Yes. Delicious. So, this is the shofar closer than you think, and we may have to make this a little
That sure made it smaller.
We disappeared. Oh, man.
It looks like. Okay.
All right.
I think we're going.
All right. We're back. So
pardon the technological interruption.
Yes, yes. So we were so confident that we're like, man, we got this figured out.
Yeah.
We're good. Well, maybe not. So anyway, how are we liking Shofar, Jake? Have you ever thought about that?
You know, but prior to you bringing up Greg's video, I hadn't even thought about it, really. I mean, usually, as far as my attaching of symbolism goes, it's like, it looks like the crescent moon. So that's kind of as far as I've gone.
Some shofars.
Right.
I'm like, what? This one doesn't look like a moon.
Well, twisted. Use your imagination.
But that one looks like a moon.
Yeah. So that's kind of as far as I had gone with what a shofar kind of looks like, because you blow it at the beginning of months, you blow it, you know, on Yom Teruah when you see the moon and that kind of thing. So,
yeah. Well, it kind of made me think. Well, he mentioned this video in this guy. It is worth watching. He goes through how they make shofars, and you see his workshop.
Yeah.
And I like seeing his workshop because I'm like, I can work in a place like that.
Yeah.
Jake couldn't, but no. Like, he's just got pathways where he can walk around. But he puts the shofar in a fire, and I always wondered, what does that smell like?
Death.
It can't smell good. But, you know, he heats it, and then he goes through, his, I guess, a hydraulic press.
He's pressing it, and heating it, and bending it.
Yes, it looks terrible, actually.
It.
And you see, what do you notice about all the black stuff? What do you think that is?
Charred flesh of some kind.
Well, it's like the impurities getting burned away. So, I mean, you just see so many interesting parallels to us and our lives. And then you see him go over here to this grinder wheel, and, I mean, it gets kind of violent.
Yeah. Very rough on the shofar.
I would be, like we talked about, I'd be a little afraid to mess, break it or something. But apparently
it can handle it.
They hit it with a little bit of buffer wheel.
Yep, and they go through several processes there. You see fourth stage of polishing.
And you also get this concept of being in a creator's hands.
Mm-hmm. There's your favorite part.
Yes, I do like that. It's very satisfying to see it disappear. And then it's bored into or pierced.
Yeah.
Multiple times, you know, because the air has to travel through here. He's got to test it, and then he somehow bores it out more, but he doesn't show you his secret.
No, you got to keep some of that for yourself.
So, and there's your finished shofar. So when it comes to us, you know, these are some of the parallels that I see, and I, like I said, I have to give Greg Widener credit for putting the thought in my head, and then I've added some of my own things. But you know, first off, you know, you and I were wholly set apart.
Yes.
So Jake, how would you describe how can a shofar be holy and set apart? I mean, I think it's clear. We don't have to explain how you and I can be holy and set apart, but how's the shofar set apart?
I think it's set apart because Yahweh calls you to sound the shofar because it's an instrument that he kind of, you know, put into our hands to be used to call out. It's also set apart as, you know, it's likened to his voice on the mountain, like the sound of a shofar, and it's the trumpet of the return. So it's set apart that way, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's created as, I believe, something that I hear you quote a lot, a special
vessel. Yes. It's a vessel for a special purpose.
I think it definitely meets that criteria for sure. And, you know, I don't think when the ram is wandering around with this, he ever thinks someday somebody's going to put their mouth on this and blow it. Maybe they think
maybe
that way.
They know that from the beginning.
Maybe they know they're special. So I don't know. But
it was egotistical.
Yes.
No.
But you know, just like you and I, we have to die to our former self. So how is the shofar dead to its former self?
Well, it used to be used for other things like fighting and protecting and that kind of thing. and being manly.
Yes, it is pretty manly. Walk around with some horns on your head.
Yeah, but now... No, it doesn't. It's... Now it's dead. It doesn't do that anymore.
Well, and, you know, it was part of a once-living creature. You know, we could go into the science of, you know, this, how these are grown. But, you know, if you've ever seen inside of a horn, cow horn or ram or whatever, you know, they're filled with capillaries.
Mm-hmm.
And marrow and stuff. You know, there's like
it's
blood.
It's living in there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this outside is, I think this is technically not considered alive, like your fingernails aren't necessarily considered alive, but what's inside of it pushing and making it happen is alive. And so, you know, so it is a part of a once living being. That being dies. This is full of stuff. And that all that gets emptied. And so it goes to you and I. We're not supposed to be full of ourselves, but we're supposed to be filled of Yeshua. And so how is... Now, see if we can move this without it going away.
Hey, there it is.
Better. So what do you think about, you know, explain the filled with the Ruach. What do you know about that part, about the breath, the wind?
Right. So the Ruach is the spirit, which is the breath of Yah. And clearly, if you've ever blown a shofar, you know it takes your breath to blow into it like a trumpet kind of situation. And it goes in as air and comes out as a sound.
Which is vibration.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like speaking almost.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. You know how the vocal cords work? It's wind coming up and flapping these little flappers.
Flappity flap. That's right.
That's a scientific term.
Scientific way to describe mm-hmm. it.
Yes. So
flaps the flappers.
Flap your flappers. So, and then just like the shofar, you and I basically can do nothing on our own. Neither can this. You know, it's just here, sitting on a shelf, collecting dust.
Mine has sat on the mantle of the fireplace for a while, and unless I touch it, it doesn't do anything. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. And I think we can kind of be like that. You know, you can be holy and set apart and just be sitting there doing basically nothing. But we have to be willing. Now, this shofar doesn't have a choice to, you know, it can't go, I don't want you to pick me up, but we can. And so, you know,
you saying predestination?
No, not going down that. But, you know, the maker can do something with us if we let him.
Yeah.
And just like this shofar can make sound and be something, it doesn't have a choice, but we do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, definitely where it departs. And then the next piece of this is, you know, I thought about circumcision. You know, we don't go into the details of that. Look it up if you don't know.
Don't do Google Images.
No, don't do that. Definitely not safe for work. But... You know, just so when you watch the video, you know, this, you know, humans get circumcised. So what is the comparison to the shofar? What did you think about all that? How does this get circumcised, if you will?
Well, I guess you could do the, they kind of take the end off.
So. Yes, they do.
But they also do.
There is some cutting involved.
Yeah. But I guess the buffing takes out that outer layer that's softer and leaves you with just this, you know, the solid layer underneath.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
something like that.
I think exactly what you said, you know, the end of this definitely gets cut off. And so, I mean, I think there you go. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. So,
yeah. Okay. Too much detail.
Too much detail. Too far. Too far. Matt, that's too far. So, but both of these, you know, for sure, you and I both, we have to be emptied of ourself. And if you watch that, you know, what was he doing in the fire in the press with this thing?
Yeah, so he made it malleable so he could kind of straighten the horn out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was neat how at the end it kind of curled back up. Like when it cooled.
It still wanted to go back to
part. Yeah, it still had a bit of a curl to it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it he heats it up and molds it to straight so he can get the drill bit through it and clean it out. And then by the end, it didn't go back to the same, but mm-hmm. it was almost like a new creation.
Right. But, you know, it's kind of unique too, because, you know, I kept thinking, you know, being the scripture in Jeremiah about being on the potter's wheel. Mm-hmm. And so watching him, you can't help but think of something being on the potter's wheel in the hands of a creator. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I want to be in the hands of my creator on the wheel. But that means I'm going to be heated. I'm going to be stretched. I might be hammered. All the things that we saw there, and that's painful.
Grind it on, yeah.
But in the end, what's beautiful about it too is just like what you said. I would say if we interviewed a bunch of shofar makers, I don't know any shofar makers. Do you?
No.
If you are a shofar maker, please reach out to us. Tell us about it,
and we'll interview you.
Yes, because I would venture to say that each shofar is unique and individual, and yeah. you probably can't ever make two exactly the same because they have their own personality. And yes, even though they get stretched and they get bent and they get heated, they still, no matter what, go back, you know, just like Jake saw, kind of shrink back up to a little bit of their former self, no matter how much you work on them. And I think that's
it still has its own identity. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He allows us to be us, but he wants us to be emptied of our selfish desires. And so, you know, Jake, do you see any comparisons to those scriptures where it talks about heating something up and getting rid of the dross?
Yeah. So, I mean, same kind of thing, like in the video, he heats it up and then it gets all the scale on it and impurities, and then that gets buffed away.
Yeah.
Just like if you would heat up, you know, the gold or the mm-hmm. iron or the silver, mm-hmm. you know, you got to scrape all the impurities away.
Yeah. And it gets polished and it gets definitely, you know, it's made smooth, its paths are corrected. And in essence, you get a new creature, if you will, not that this is a creature, but you get something new.
Yeah. And then the cleansed part, you've smelled them fresh from the market, and they're
farm to table.
Yeah. Oh,
that's what we should do. Shofar, farm to table.
Yeah. And they're a little putrid. And so you got to clean it out. It has to be cleansed.
And I wonder, do you think they send it through a mikveh? And once again, if you're a shofar maker, let us know. But I bet they get baptized with water.
Yeah.
At some point in this journey.
And if they don't there, they do when they get to your house, because you don't want that floating around.
You can get the shofar spray.
Mmm.
Minty fresh.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have not tried that.
I haven't.
Learned something new.
Mm-hmm.
But I just know my sister has a kudu horn, and it's she went through all kinds of things to try to get that thing to stop smelling bad. So
was she had successful?
It like tied up like in the shower so that she could like pour stuff through it. And yeah, and I think by now it's good to go.
Hmm. So. And how do you think that relates to you and I?
Well, because we need cleansed, right? It's not just pulling out the bad stuff. There's always residue left over. You got to clean all of it out. It's like a flush your system.
Mm.
You get one of those mm-hmm. detoxification recipes going.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're...
Got to purge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Suddenly feel the urge to purge. So, yeah, that makes sense. And definitely, I think that we probably can kind of stink sometimes to our creator. I definitely think that's a possibility. You can sometimes be like, whoa.
Go outside the camp for 7 days.
Do something about that. Yeah. So, definitely, we don't want to, we want to be pleasing to the Father. And so, you know, here's the image of, you know, this horn being heated up. And, you know, I like the fact that, you know, he's got gloves over there, but he doesn't need those gloves.
Who needs them?
He's just sticking it right in the fire and heating it right up. So, and we did talk about that, but that image, you know, really helps you see it. You know, we're forged by a maker, a creator, just like the Jeremiah scripture. And then, you know, there's a picture of the drill press. And if you've, you know, there's actually a lot of fun videos with drill presses. Have you ever watched any of those?
Yeah. where they squish numbers of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very satisfying. So, I, you know, and I like it because it's just so slow. Just, and then it just shatters.
Yeah.
So, but there's a lot of pressure, you know, a lot of pounds per square inch on something like that. And, you know, it's interesting too, that it takes a, it takes something that big and heavy to bend these.
Yeah.
I mean, cause you know that this, I mean, so basically, you know, I don't know what the, what's that hardness scale? There's some hardness scale out there, but
there's a Rockwell. I don't think Shofar Horn is.
Oh, and there's a, there's a steel and
yeah,
you know, so, so to me, this is probably a lot stronger than I ever realized. If you have to use a press like that to straighten it out, heat it like a piece of metal and straighten it out.
Yeah.
I, you know, I, just, I would have thought you could just heat this up and be like,
maybe you could, but we all can't be Matt.
And maybe that's the deal. Maybe it's, you know, it would wear you out if you did this all day.
Yeah.
And the press makes it real simple. But
it's, yeah, probably just holding it in place while he cranks on it.
And it's hot, I guess. So that keeps the heat away from your hand while you crank
on it. Or the gloves could have worked, but
yeah, the
clearly
gloves.
He's not doing that.
No, he's got calluses. He's a man. So, but anyway, it creates something new and is lifeless without the spirit.
Right, without the this the breath that the just breath. Sits there.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I do think that it's something to think about for sure. And hopefully when you look at the shofar, maybe you'll see it a little bit different. Maybe you'll start to be able to see the parallels to you and I and what we want to be. You know, we want to be like this instrument, you know, in the hands of our Creator. We want to be useful, ready and willing, and we want to be not filled with our own garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's neat whenever you start seeing, and it happens, about everything. I mean, when you start researching some of the stuff in Scripture, you see that there's so much more to it than, oh, go blow the shofar. You know, why a shofar? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you can tell from all the parallels that it's there's purpose behind it.
Yeah.
I think that's neat.
Well, and just like we talked about, you know, the first time somebody introduces you to a shofar and you're kind of like, that's weird.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
These guys are nuts.
That's a dead animal. Isn't that unclean? You know, a dead animal part that you're supposed to hold to your lips and you blow it like a trumpet. Why don't you just use a trumpet? It'd be a lot easier.
Right.
So, I mean, I think there's a whole teaching about the silver trumpets, and it makes sense. So many things that we see are about Yahuwah's natural created things, and this is a natural created thing that he made, mm-hmm. and, you know, and the trumpet is kind of a mankind thing, and there is a whole lesson, if you've never studied out the difference between the shofar sound and the trumpet sound, that's a good thing to study.
Yeah, it's definitely a different sound. And then that... Something else I was thinking is you can't blow it this direction.
It's only one way?
It only works like that, you know, and mm-hmm. you have to, it takes a specific, you know, way of blowing it for it to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely directional.
So.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and the one thing we didn't talk about too, you mentioned it, was like our voice. And so I also would imagine that each shofar has its own individual voice. And just like we have an individual voice, and when the Spirit blows through us, each one is slightly different, but it sounds beautiful to our Creator's ear. And it represents, in a lot of ways, when we blow these shofars, we just had Day of Trumpets, and it's in a way, we are the lost sheep, if you will, and we have these shofars, which kind of makes us like sheep.
Yeah.
And so we're crying out to our Maker, saying, hey, remember us. Please, right. Remember where we are, remember us. And then there's a lot of teachings about the wedding feast and how when the groom starts, you know, coming back, he comes with the light often at night, which represents the moon.
Yeah.
The new moon, sliver of the new moon. And there's trumpet fanfare. There's a shofar blast. There's people yelling and shouting. And if you think about it, you know, back in the day, you know, it's hard for us to visualize, but if you go camping out in the middle of nowhere, you can start to understand this. And I suggest that you go out somewhere really far at some point in your life and experience silence, because we don't experience silence in our world today.
No, it's hard to find.
Yeah. Most of us live in suburbia within earshot of cars, highway noise, traffic. You know, it's really hard. You have to get really far away to not hear those things.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, in ancient times when this wedding party came, it would have been very loud.
Right.
And everybody in the town would have been like, what's going on? And they didn't have a lot else to, they didn't have TV to watch. And so I'm sure it drew a big crowd. Everybody in town knew that this groom had come back and it was party.
Yeah. And they probably went out to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's just like being out on the farm and after a storm, grandma's like, well, Matt, grab the truck. We're going to drive around and see what happened. You know, and you drive around and you look, oh, old man Scrimpshner lost his barn. Oh, that's terrible.
Old man Scrimpshner. If you're watching, old man Scrimpshner, reach out to us.
How's your barn?
Sorry to hear about your barn.
It's terrible. So, but anyway, you know, life in a small town is definitely like that. I can understand, you know, and, yeah. You know, it'd be attention gathering and exciting. And so, and I think that's too, we're supposed to be excited about these things and anticipate, because he is going to come back one day and there's going to be a shofar blast and we want to be ready. So, but in the end, we hope that, that you found this to be meaningful, useful. Hopefully it can impact you and just something to think about. Do you have anything, any last words?
Yeah, just real quick. So on Yom Teruah, it's supposed to be a memorial, and I've heard it said that it's the only feast that's a remembrance of something in the future that hasn't happened yet. And I know there's significance with all the fall feasts of things that haven't happened yet, but most of them also point back to, like, Sukkot, their tabernacling in the wilderness and things like that. But I think that what it would memorialize is when they were in Egypt and they called out and he remembered them. And that's kind of what we're kind of memorializing, remembering from that time, even though it is still a future event to look
forward to. Are you saying we're in Egypt?
Yes. Yeah.
Babylon,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very similar. Yeah, that's a good point.
But that was kind of all I had, since we were talking about trumpets and stuff.
Yeah. That's good. And you should research these things, see if what we're saying makes sense, see if it lines up in the text. And if it doesn't, let us know. But yep. You know, we want you to, you know, we think we should be Bereans. We should search the scriptures and read them and know what they say. And, you know, that's the point of this. We want to help you along the way. We hope that it causes you to research and look into it deeper. And
yeah.
We always thank you for listening and stopping by. And we ask you to share this with someone, give it a like, comment, subscribe. We have multiple ways to follow us. We have reached a whopping 400 followers in the Twitter sphere.
Whoa. We're so big on the Twitter.
And we have a bunch in Facebook.
I don't even know how that works.
Yeah.
I'm not a Twitter man myself.
Yeah. Well, and I do know how it works. It is kind of creepy with all the things that they know about you.
Yeah. So that's why we got to work together. They'll know everything about you and I'll just piggyback on
that. That's right. And on the WordPress, we're up to 100 people in there too. And, you know, a lot of times what we do, we tie it all together. But sometimes there are definitely things that I've written and posted here that aren't necessarily in other places. But anyway, we just appreciate you bookmarking this, saving this, coming back to this, looking at it from time to time, because we try to update it pretty frequently. But I think that's it. And this is Matt
and Jake
signing off. Thank you.
Yeah.